joining us from Hollywood is the pitbull of comedy, Mr. Bobby Slayton. Thank you for doing this, sir.
Oh, anytime, Feldo, and always a big hello to your imaginary listeners. You know, every time I do the show, the same three idiots who sit on the internet all day, who aren't going to events, or whatever that crap is, they always tell me how much they love the show. It's the same three people all the time. But whatever. You know, it's more people than I have, so it's great, you know? It's three people in Judd Apatow. Why he listens to you, I don't know. I never quite got. So meanwhile, so you called me yesterday. You know, I do appreciate you calling me to ask me to do your show. But you know, those three people, if I was playing somewhere or I had something to plug, you asked me before we went on the air, I have nothing to plug. I have nothing going on until September at the Comedy Magic Club and then a week in San Francisco and Chicago coming up. I have a movie I'm doing in Sacramento, some little independent film, which will be fun. But I don't even know the name of it, so I can't really plug that. So, yeah, I'm off. I'm taking my girlfriend to Europe on Wednesday for a two-week vacation. But you would die for me to do the show.
I want to find out what's going on. And I want to know what sex is like for you, because you're back in the saddle after a long drought marriage. And this must be an exciting time. You're taking your girlfriend to Europe. See, you know how to enjoy life. I never learned how to relax.
Well, we want to go in May, because this is a stab at American big thing that ISIS has in May. My girlfriend finds it exciting to try to dodge these people. And, you know, for some reason, May is a good in that kind of month in Paris. But anyway, but meanwhile, yesterday you called me and you said you wanted to talk to me about old people sex. That was the thing. And I said, okay, first of all, I can't really prepare anything on this, because I don't know. You know, why? First of all, I don't consider myself old. You know, I don't think anything has changed except for the fact that my hearing loss from years of going to the gym and blasting my Walkman and my iPod and playing the drums. So I'm deaf. That's situational. That's something that I did to myself, not because of old age. But back in the old days, you know, our grandparents were old. When I first met you, you know, I think we were in our late 20s, early 30s, you were always old. To me, you were like Gabby Hayes. You were like Gabby Hayes and Walter Brennan. Even in your 20s, you looked like you were 60. You ever see Gabby Hayes and Walter Brennan when they were young? They looked like they were 80 years old. You were like that. You were always an old person to me, you know? And you were like a vegan before, but you didn't know you were vegan. It's like some people didn't know they were gay. You know, you ever know somebody, you know this guy, you know this guy's a homo in high school, you know? He was gay, but he didn't know he was gay. You know, Kevin Meady, the late, great Kevin Meady, when he used to open up for me in San Francisco, I knew he was fucking gay. He didn't know he was gay. I knew before him. And you, I knew, you were an old man. Not an old soul. An old soul is somebody that, like my daughter's an old soul. I said, I'm an old soul. Somebody who's lived life many times in a past life. You were just an old fart. And I knew you'd become a vegan. I knew you'd give up everything fun. I can't drink wine. I'm a vegan. And someday, you know what it's like? Someday you're going to figure it out, like, what it's like, what you're missing. Someday I'll try a cheeseburger again, and you go, oh, my God. Just like you're just getting laid now. You're finally getting laid again, and you think it's this new revelation. You're going to do the same thing with meat and milkshakes and wine. You're going to wake up one day, hey, let's talk about meat and milkshakes, and I'm going to go, I've been eating and drinking this shit for years, Feldo. I know what it's like. I know what it's like, you know? You're like one of these people, and I'm serious. I mean, because you said to me the last time we talked, I've got a girlfriend, I'm getting late again. This is so exciting. I go, I know I've been getting late for years, and I've been eating cheeseburgers for years. And now you want to share with me, and you expect me to pontificate on old people's sex when I really know nothing about it. You're the old guy. What's it like for you? Do you even remember the next morning when you have sex? I mean, you're probably deaf. You can't hear her moan, if she moans at all, you know? You know what you like? You're like a rescue dog who's been in this fucking kennel in this pound for years. When somebody finally takes you out and you see what it's like to be outside in the real world, you go, wow! And all the other dogs know what it's like, because we don't live there. You know? That's what you like, Feldo. You're like a special needs child who lives in an orphanage and nobody adopts you and you don't know what's wrong with you. And then when you finally get out and you live life like a regular kid, that's what you like. You're overrun with excitement. You're overcome with excitement from sex. Are you still having sex?
Not right now.
No, not right now. But you said you wanted to talk about that. So what do you want to talk about old people sex? I know nothing about it.
Not different.
Well, I can't speak for you and Gabby Hayes. I can speak for me. I just remember when you called me a few weeks ago and you said, I've got this girlfriend, we're having sex. And it was this great thing for you. You were overcome with excitement. And I just want you, you know, it can turn around to bite you in your ass at your age if you don't take it easy. You know, it's a lot like when the Jews got out of Auschwitz and had something to eat. A lot of them went into shock. A lot of them went into shock and died because their systems were not used to eating. I mean, that's not funny, but it's true. You know that? They took a bite of an apple and their stomachs exploded because they hadn't had food. These poor people were starving. And you're going to have a fucking brain aneurysm if you, you know, I mean, I don't know if she blows you and swallows, like, well, you know, like my girlfriend, but I don't know how good your sex is. And I don't even know what sex is to you, but whatever it is, I'm glad you're having a good time.
So you're going to go to Paris and relax?
Yeah, we're not going to Paris. We're actually going to Barcelona, and we'll go to Portugal. Yeah, we've been to Paris, and I'm not a fan of the French people or their fucking food. So, you know, I've been there before, you know, the Arc de Triomphe, which they never marched under. They never won anything. The Nazis and Americans went under the Arc de Triomphe. It was for douchebags, those people. Ever since we couldn't fly over their airspace, remember with Gaddafi and all that shit?
Mm-hmm. You know. Before you go, what is a perfect day on vacation for Bobby Slayton?
Well, first of all, every day's a vacation for me now. It's funny because, you know, I was working so much for so many years, and I the last time I worked was early April. I did a couple of weeks. I couldn't wait to get this stand-up shit over with because I hate it so much now.
You're the best. You're the best.
I just doesn't mean I have to like it, you know? You know? I'm sure it's like that Korean guy with Gangnam Style. I'm sure he can't do that anymore. You know, I'm sure he's sick of it, although that's all he's got going for him. Unless he's opened the Kim Chi parlor and sold his sister to slavery or something. You know, I'll go back and I'll do it again in September, you know, and I'll certainly do your show again to get your four listeners. Maybe it'll double by then and get them to come to my show. You know, it's funny, I'm going on vacation, and I don't know what I'm going on vacation from because I'm always on vacation. You know, I mean, I get up every morning at 7 o'clock. I try to work out in my little gym in my garage, and my girlfriend and I take the dogs to the park. You know, we go right by the lake where Andy Griffith and Opie skim the rocks. You know, that's still there.
Yeah.
So we go up there, we walk the dogs for an hour, and then I come back and I decide, do I want to go out for dinner or make dinner? So my life is kind of vacation now.
So what is when nice you if you go to Portugal or Barcelona?
Yeah.
You stay in a nice hotel. You sit on the beach.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you got to go to a museum? Do you have to talk to people? What's the pressure that you're under?
We're going to the Salvador Dali Museum. You know, we're going on a few things that tourists have to do. You know, it's almost like when you go to San Francisco. I'm sure you did it for the first time. Oh, we got to go to Alcatraz, Empire State Building in New York. We got to go. And you play the tourist thing, you know, and you do it. You know, there's going to be a lot of tourists there. And, you know, we're going to that church that Gaudi worked on, the Familia Sagrada. It's, you know, it's a famous church there. They've been working on it for 300 years. It's still not finished, which just goes to show you, unlike L.A., the Mexicans would have done that in 2 weeks. And they've been working on it for 300 years. Because he's fucking, the Mexican, you know, no, because the Spanish, you know, they rest all day. They sleep all day. They don't do shit. They can't get anything done. So, you know, Mexicans here work for 12 hours a day. That church would have been done 100 years ago. But anyway, we're just going to do that and eat and drink and lay on the beach and just hang. So it should be good.
I wish I were Bobby Slayton. Hey, this is fantastic. Thank you so much for doing it. Will you do this? I kept it short, right?
Yeah, I was just getting warmed up, too.
I'll keep going. I want you to come back.
No, it's okay. The regional thing. So yesterday when you said to me, I want to talk about old people's sex.
Yes.
You know, I made it quite clear that I know nothing about that. My sex life. You know, I do have to admit, though, that a lot of times, you know, I like to see what's on TV first, but I can't use that as an excuse anymore because everything's on demand. So, you know.
Do you think men think about sex more than they want it? We think about sex all the time, but that doesn't mean that we want it, right?
No, I you think you want it, you know.
Sex is work for men, right?
It can be a little bit of work. I mean, you can't really fake an orgasm. You can't. Yeah, you know what? I'm actually pretty lucky right now with my girlfriend because it's not a lot of work for me. I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Even Bill Cosby, at the height of his success, had to work.
Yeah, but he had great sex because he got to drug the woman and didn't have to listen to the man. So he had a whole different situation going. I admire the man for that, you know. I think that's terrific. He didn't have to use his money and his power. He just used a quaalude. So whatever, that's pretty cool. I mean, I don't like the guy.
Did you ever meet him?
I once think he was kind of a douchebag, but, you know, he could have been in a bad mood. Maybe I was, you know, a douchebag, too. I don't really remember, but I've never heard anybody say anything nice about the guy.
Doesn't it kind of upset you, though, that he hit the pinnacle of fame? He got everything he wanted, and he had to resort to drugs to get women.
Well, that's what I think is most amazing thing ever. You, I could see where you were talking about. I can't see you getting sex any other way, because I know you have no money. I mean, you can borrow Smigel's fucking puppet dog, and maybe that'd help you. But, you know, maybe he could help you get laid.
What insight to women do you now have that you might not have had 40 years ago? How have you changed? You're with a new woman. What do you now know about women that you wish you knew 40 years ago? Or did you, have you known it all along? I think you knew it all along.
You know, I'll tell you, I learned, that's why my act for years, you know, I had one girlfriend who was a lunatic, and then another girlfriend who was a lunatic, then my late wife who was great, but a lunatic. My wife had said to me, you got to remember, as women go, you know, as wives go, my wife once said to me, as wives go, you got to admit I'm a pretty great wife. I said, we got to qualify that, because that's like Charles Manson saying, as serial killers go, I never actually killed anybody. You know, he never tortured little boys and fucked them and buried them under his house. He never gouged out the eyes of women and men like the Night Stalker. You know, he never, Charles Manson told other people to do shit. He never ate anybody like Jeffrey Dahmer. So as serial killers go, you know, Manson was a pretty good straight shooter. You know what I mean? He was a good guy. But I got to qualify it. As serial killers go. You know? And then you can say, as dictators go, this guy wasn't as Hitler. I didn't kill 6 million people. Yeah, as dictators go, you know. So, you know, again, yeah, as wives go, my wife is a great wife. But they're all lunatic. I should really be a doctor. Fuck Dr. Phil. I'll tell you what I've learned. And by the way, Judd Apatow, if you're listening, I should get a show. Not that idiot Artie Lang. He'll be done soon. Give me a show. Okay. And I love Artie. I shouldn't say that. Okay. What I've learned is, and I think I've learned this with my girlfriend, what I've learned is when they say something really stupid, which they all do, instead of arguing with them, just let them think they're right. It doesn't do you any good to really fight with them too much.
You can't find justice from a woman.
Well, you know what? I'll let my girlfriend say something. We get along really great, as girlfriends go. we get along great. And but, you know, she'll say something, and I'll go, you're wrong. She'll go, no, I'm right. I'm sure I'm right. And I go, okay, all right, you're right. And then somewhere down the line, I go, remember that argument we had? I told you I was right. But, you know, because I know I'm right. I'm right 95% of the time. So eventually the truth will come out.
Do they want an argument from you, Bobby, or do they want you to walk away from an argument? Or do they enjoy the give and take?
Everybody wants an argument from me. They think that I love arguing with people. I'm just too tired. And by the way, I love Artie Lang. I think Artie's... But there's a lot of people that shouldn't be on television. But
you should be. I was watching you playing Joey Bishop last night on the Rat Pack.
Why were you watching that?
Because I missed you. You're my hero.
You know, this month is, I think, today, actually. I don't know when you're going to air this, but Frank Sinatra's death, actually. You know, it's so funny. When Frank died, we had just completed filming on the Rat Pack, and nobody knew Frank was going to die. You know, he was like an old guy, and, you know, I know he wasn't in the greatest health, and he kind of lost his voice. But, you know, they were working on this Rat Pack movie a year or two, you know, at least a year before Frank you know, passed away. And of course, when the movie came out, you know, there were people in Frank's camp. Oh, HBO's taking advantage of Frank's death. Really? The movie comes out a week after he dies, just coincidentally. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like they planned it out. Let's make this movie when Frank dies, we'll release it.
Did you meet Joey Bishop? I would assume he was not a pleasant person because he
not
was.
Not a pleasant person.
But he was funny. That's the thing about Joey Bishop. He was funny. He wasn't Rickles, but he was pretty funny, right?
You know what? I never saw him in his heyday. It was an honor to play him. Not the nicest guy. And you know, when I was getting ready to play Joey Bishop, I actually called a lot of the old comics, some of them no longer with us, and I said, you know, you're in the same area as Joey Bishop, and nobody had anything nice to say about him. I remember, you know, when he had his Joey Bishop show opposite the Carson show, you know, on Live in those days, he walked off in the middle of a show. He was set up and left Regis Philbin, his sidekick, sitting there to finish the show. And I don't think that sat very well. It wouldn't sit well with anybody.
And then Regis walked off.
Well, I don't know, but I remember meeting Regis right after I did the movie and said, so what was it like to work with Joey Bishop? And he was evil.
Did he really say that?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I was playing Caroline's and he came over to say hello. But anyway, there were a lot of really great comics. And I remember asking Rickles about Joey Bishop. And Rickles goes, you know, like my mother said, if you don't have something nice to say about anybody, don't say anything. So that was, I think, Rickles' way of obviously saying he was a prick, you know.
Yeah.
But
watching young comics, give me some advice about watching young comics.
I don't watch any, really.
How do you watch the young, great comics without hating yourself and being jealous? That's something
I'm not jealous at all. No, there's a lot of good young comics.
There are.
You know, and I know, but there's a lot more shitty young comics than there are good ones. But just like when I was starting out, you were starting out, you know, you were one of the shitty ones, I was one of the good ones. There was a lot of you. there were a few of me. But there were just many bad comics back then. But now, yeah, I thought there were a lot of comics, you know, when I was starting out. And they just got more and more and more and more. But now, with Netflix and with all the, you know, avenues and YouTube and whatever, you know, oh, my God, there are so many comedians, and so many of them are so bad and so mediocre. And I watch Stephen Colbert in some of these shows, and, you know, and they don't put comics on very often, but they won't put on a lot of guys, you know, of my era, a lot of guys that have been working, the Don Marrero, Jake Johansson, me, whatever. You know, I mean, you'll see more of these young comics, and so many of them are just doing crap that we all did already. And
don't you worry that that's what the older comics thought of us at our heyday? I guess it has to be. That's the way it is.
No, because there were a lot of older comics that were bitter and angry like you. And you ask me if I'm bitter. No, I don't mind. Look, you know, when there's guys who are not a lot younger than me, but in their 30s and 40s, you know, in their 40s now, but the Louis C.K.'s and the Bill Burrs and, you know, when I was a young comic, you know, Bill Hicks opened up for me. And all these guys that were younger, they were great. Still younger. They're still great.
Jim Jeffries?
Oh, yeah, I watched it. It was really good, yeah.
The other night I was watching, I go, why is this so great? Oh, yeah, it's jokes. He's funny. He's clever. This is good.
Yeah, it's really good.
He's fantastic.
There's only so much I can watch, you know?
Yeah.
I watch John Oliver, then I watch old Jim Jeffries, then I watch Bill Maher, and I go, you know, there's so much stand-ups and satire and new shit I can watch. But yeah, you know what? I haven't watched them in a couple of months. I'm going to go back and watch them again. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I used to open for you.
Yeah.
Did you ever have trouble following me? Did you ever say, oh boy, Feldman's killing, I better bring my A game?
No, but I had trouble following you because it's almost like if you're eating in a restaurant and you're having a great meal and somebody throws up in front of you and loses your appetite. I think that's what happens to the audience a lot. Yeah, I know. Maybe that's a bad analogy. Maybe it's more like, if you're taking a drive and you see a cat get run over by a car, you know, you don't really want to take a drive anymore. I think what you did to audiences is not that you killed. I mean, maybe you did in your mind, but I think that you upset them so much, and I had to follow the cat getting run over by a car. You know, it just wasn't pleasant.
Whenever you were on stage and I was opening for you and you got a moan from the audience, you would say, don't make me bring Feldman back up here.
Right. You know what? I like when you open up because you had some really smart comedy and so did Jeremy Kramer. Yeah. And if the audience didn't like you, then I know, and sometimes understandably and deservedly so, but occasionally, if they didn't like you, God, that was a great joke and Feldman, that was so evil, that was such a dark joke, but it was a great joke. Then I knew what to be prepared for. You know, the audience sucks, and the audience is judgmental, or they're young and stupid, so...
I once heard you say Joe Rogan was the hardest act for you to follow.
Well, I don't know if I ever followed Joe Rogan, actually. I don't think he ever opened up for me.
I thought you said...
No, No, I never opened up for me. Rogan never opened up for me. He was always a headliner. We'd worked together before at the Nasty Show in Montreal, and I remember seeing him for the first time years ago at the Aspen Comedy Festival. I thought he was amazing, but you might have asked me, who do you think would be tough to follow today or something, mm-hmm. you know?
I would
a lot of people.
Pablo Francisco.
You know? I don't, you know what? A lot of people would be hard to follow. That's why I used to MC shows all the time. I don't want to have to follow people. I'd rather host the show, you know? That's why I started hosting this big Nasty Show in Montreal. And it became one of the most popular shows of the Just for Laughs Montreal Festival. I did that for 25 years. And they originally wanted me to close it. And I go, I'm not following Dom Herrera and whoever, and Joe Rogan and Louis C.K. And there were so many, great comics. I just didn't want to follow them all. So I just thought I'd try hosting. I could do a little bits between them. Anyway, you're right. Just going on much longer than 10 minutes.
Last question. Deep in your heart, despite the fact that he's a racist, a misogynist, and he's destroying the country.
Yeah.
Aren't you enjoying Jimmy Fallon? No, aren't you enjoying... I don't know why I said Jimmy Fallon. Aren't you enjoying a little bit of Trump? Doesn't he remind you of us?
No.
Not at all?
In what way?
Just needy, wanting attention, only feeling alive when he's pissing people off.
I don't know if I really feel that way. Maybe I did it one time. The only great enjoyment I get from that pumpkin-headed fuck is watching Fallon and Stephen Colbert's, you know, their monologues, and watching John Oliver and watching Bill Maher. But, you know, it pisses me off too much that 60 million people voted for this piece of shit. I would say, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I say a third of those people are probably sorry they did it. And I understand why they did it, because they're pretty stupid and they hate Hillary, whatever the reason or problem is. But there's still 20, 30 million people that still love this idiot. And I love when he's at rallies and you look at the people in the back and you see all these Forrest Gump-like, you know, morons and jackasses. I never got Hispanics for Trump or women for Trump. That's like Jews for Hitler. I don't know if that movement ever took off. I don't get what these people are thinking, you know.
I wanted to be you. We were in San Francisco, and we weren't allowed to say certain things. They were like, don't put your finger in that light socket. So we would do it.
That was
the politically correct movement back then. Before it was called politically correct, we knew not to touch the third rail. I made my career by touching the third rail. You touched the third rail. What's everybody complaining about with the politically correct?
What career? You're sitting in your bathroom with four people listening, talking to me. Another guy whose career is going fucking nowhere. What are you talking about, your career?
Well, we made people laugh by touching the thing we weren't supposed to touch.
But people,
why is everybody so upset about the politically correct movement? Why is Donald Trump so upset that you can't say certain things? You're not upset when people tell you can't say something, right?
I think it's just gotten worse. I think it's gotten worse and worse and worse. That stupid Me Too movement, we started off great, and I still wish all the women the best, because there's been a lot of, you know, they've been, you know, discriminated against, just like black people and everybody, a lot of other people for a long time. But now you get every asshole jumping on the bandwagon, and people giving Amy Schumer, you know, crap for her new movie. Bill Maher was just talking about that this week or last week, and just watching his show, and, you know, and it's got a little out of hand.
Why are people giving Amy Schumer shit?
No, just go watch Bill Maher from last week, and they did a lot of talking about, you know. I didn't want to get into it. Just, you know,
I saw the movie. I saw the movie.
Some asshole, some cunt from the LA Times, some other magazine, some other newspaper. Why can't we use a woman of color to do this? And like Bill said, because it's an Amy Schumer movie. It's not a woman of color movie. You know, it's just shut up already, you know. And, you know, and how come when Amy takes off her glasses and puts on frumpy clothes and she's fat, people feel sorry for her? Why can't she? It's just fat shaming. And shut up already. And anyway, Mar went off on it and did a... I don't mean to quote him, because or to misquote him. But anyway, he had a good point. But nothing we haven't said before, and that other people haven't said. It seems like just getting out of hand, which is why I hate doing stand-up so much now, because there's too many fucking assholes out there, you know? So
too many people in the audience complaining.
I get it. You know, I don't like getting on airplanes anymore because I see people and go, God, you know, I don't mind if this plane crashes. I'm willing to give up my life so some people just die. I don't want to have to think like that, you know? I don't want to be like that. So I'm trying to remove myself from the public eye. So I think if I just, you know, dip my toes into your four mags or eight listeners, next time I do your show, there'll be 8 or 10. It'll be, make a slow comeback.
Thank you for doing this. Right. Pitbull of Comedy on Twitter. Have a great vacation. I love you. Please come back.
I'll talk to you. Your new girlfriend, you're still going out with her?
After this, we'll find out.
Okay, we'll find out. Let me know when I talk to you next month.
Okay.
All right?
I love you. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Go.
Bye.